always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
So I think part of their vision is like just looking at OKC and San Antonio and being like, we need guys who can keep up with those guys athletically and from a speed perspective. So, and we didn't even mention Carr within this, but like, you know, he's kind of on that 2-3 borderline. I think right now, as he's around 185 pounds, he's probably more of a 2 than a 3. So if you add Carr to the backcourt as well, and it's like Austin, Grimes, Sexton, Carr, because I consider Luka more of a front court player, at least defensively.
Mm-hmm. Two guards.
That's, you know, it's a more athletic group than it was previously. And we'll see, you know, they still have Bronny, Hardy. Like overall, I see the vision with the speed, the ball handling. I think it's not quite at the level you would want still, where again, like, but like my biggest issue with the current iteration of the roster is that you are asking Quentin Grimes to be your number three option overall and to be your primary both point of attack and wing stopper with the current group right now. So it's like, that's a, like, if he's able to do that job, that's worth way more than $15 million. Like that's like a $25, $30 million job is be like a number three. Like you're basically asking him to be like JD McDaniels and you'll get, you know, that's great value if you get that in a $15 million player, but I don't think Quentin Grimes is JD McDaniels. So that's like a massive ask. Like I think he's got the biggest, like Walker Kessler, it's basically be like, do what you do, but do it at a higher level now that you're playing off of Luka and Austin and this like new massive increase in playmaking that you're going to be playing with. Mamu, do what you did in Toronto. Sexton, be that spark plug off the bench. Grimes is the guy that kind of like, yo, we think you're a starter and we're giving you all this new responsibility and like go hit your ceiling. That's the one where I think the offseason like really hinges. And I would say entering this entire mix, like I was lower on Grimes probably than consensus. I still probably am. I see the vision more. I think he could probably get be satisfactory as like that point of attack guy, but you definitely need that wing stopper forward type. Because again, if it's Jake or if it's Mamu, I just don't think that's good enough or even close to good enough.
Yeah. You have to run. I'm going to sit here and answer some questions from the chat. Anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
Just my show, Buha's Block. I'll probably have to go live now and you know soon because of this loony news. And then I was going to go live tonight and now probably going live earlier. And then just Lakers Collective. You know, those would be the two things to plug. I'll be out at Summer League all weekend. So if you guys are out there, we'd love to say hi. We'd love to run into you guys. I'll be at both Laker games. We'll probably do another meetup as I did for my show, you know, at a brewery. So you came out, Trevor came out, Raj came out. So yeah, look forward to meeting as many Laker fans as possible in Las Vegas and looking forward to see what the Lakers do over the next few days. Cause I think one thing that I haven't seen a lot of people talk about is that the Wizards have a trade exception that expires on July 9th for Kelly Olynyk. And it's a 13 point something million dollar trade exception. So if they slot, they don't have to slot DA in that trade exception, but if they do, they create a new trade exception with Jaden Hardy and that salary slot that they could use in the future. So I think there will be a little bit of pressure here from Washington to try to get this deal done within the next couple of days. And then once that deal gets done, the Lakers are on the clock in terms of trying to flip Hardy if they want to flip him while they have cap space so he could still be aggregated. So I mean, LeBron is holding up the offseason right now with his decision and just the uncertainty with that. But I think the Lakers are kind of in a position now over the next couple of days where if they're going to get off some of this money, they kind of get, you know, need to get off of it soon, figure out the Kuminga situation, and then make those moves ideally by like Thursday or Friday. So I think we're going to get some action here in the next couple of days. And, you know, I'm excited to see how it all plays out.
Me too. I do not want to see Hardy on the team next year. He just doesn't make a bunch of sense.
I agree.
From a roster standpoint, but yeah, no, we will, I'll let me know about your meetup. If you do one, I will go ahead and try to sign up for that, in advance. And, yeah, thanks for hopping on, man.
Awesome, man. Good to see you. And shout out to
he just removed himself. So he was going to shout out to somebody. I'll see who he's shouting out. Let's see if anybody shouted out. You know what? I'll text Jovan. Hey, man, you got cut off. Who did you want to shout out? All right. Let's go ahead and answer some of the super chats to get us through the rest of this episode. We always start with the most important sound on the show. Fuck watching! All right. shout out to, you know what? It could be to you. It could be that like, it, I didn't, all right, no, no. This is what we're not going to do. I didn't boot him. So whoever is trying to start shit between me and my dude Jovan, where is it at? That was dirty. I didn't boot him. That was not me. I was hovering over the button just in case he didn't manage it, but he popped out of the chat and then that was it. So we'll find out one day who he wanted to shout out. And as soon as I find out, using my incredible journalistic integrity and instincts, I'll let you guys know. But all right, let's start though with Jovan Buha's Pookie. This might be who's shouting out. Jovan Buha's Pookie Bear. Odds Magnon gets the 15th roster spot. All right. So I have been really impressed, honestly, dating back to last year about the way that Magnon defends. This is something, point of attack defense is not something that the Lakers have had enough of over the years, especially with Marcus Smart's departure. They got worse in that regard. I love the idea of converting Magnon to a formal roster spot here for the Lakers. And you know, having him hopefully, you know, kind of learn on the job about, you know, get more reps this year than he had last year. As far as the odds that it happens, unfortunately, I think the Lakers have higher priorities with the rest of their roster spots. I think it would probably, if I had to set odds at it, I would say like 10 to 15% right now. And the Lakers would rather gamble on Magnon continuing on in a two-way spot that nobody else would sign him away at. But that is a risk. When you have a player on a two-way contract, there is a risk there that some team can just be like, we want him. And then you lose Magnon there. You might have an opportunity to, you know, make it work so that you can keep him, but, you know, you do risk it. And I would prefer that they not risk it with him. Let's see. The next question that we have here comes from Ryan Lucas LA, who writes, Jonathan Kuminga's sign and trade is doable. Swap DK Vando with a fair AAV, meaning what Kuminga would get paid at. It's doable. I don't know that Atlanta has any interest whatsoever in Jared Vanderbilt's contract or in Dalton Connect as a prospect. Dalton Connect's draft stock or just overall value around the league is absolutely basement floor level. And, you know, when it comes to like what you need to give up to get off of what money, or, you know, could Dalton be seen as an addition to a trade, seeing is that he's still relatively young, former first round pick, somebody who a lot of people had pretty highly graded coming into the league. And then on top of it, right, you don't have to worry. Like, it's not like he's going to be commanding some crazy contract after this upcoming season. You trade for him, you get his bird rights. Like, you would think this guy would be at least fairly valuable. But unfortunately, that is just not quite the case. And, you know, right now he is seen as negative value. Now, on that front too, league sources are always slanted in that, like, you know, they're going to say, oh yeah, this guy doesn't have any value. If you talk to people around the league, and then, you know, the Lakers would maybe argue differently. But yeah, as far as, like, you know, trying to go to Washington after you traded for Luka and being like, hey, yeah, I know that, you know, some fans, a large portion of your fans probably aren't really interested in trading with us ever again. Could you give us a pretty popular player there in PJ Washington? And could you take on one of our bad contracts? And oh yeah, by the way, we don't have a first rounder that we could possibly offer you. We have a pick swap. How about that? What do you think? And I just don't know how those negotiations would go. If Rob somehow pulled that off, I would be incredibly impressed. But Masai Ujiri and Rob Pelinka, they love to negotiate against each other. They don't, they every deadline while both of those guys were employed, you always heard about the Lakers and Raptors being in trade negotiations for, at one point it was Kyle Lowry. At other points it was for, who was it? I forget. It was like a wing that the Lakers were kind of sort of interested in. Every year, Rob and Masai would get on the phone and they would hash it out and they would never come to a deal. And here with PJ Washington, now I think it helps that the Lakers, or that Ujiri is, you know, not the person who acquired PJ in the first place. Ujiri has been given full rein on what he can and cannot do. So I don't think he is being limited in the teams that he can talk to. He just is a very, very tough negotiator. And this idea that the Lakers would get one over on him right at the onset of his tenure there in Washington, I don't know that I see that one. Let's go to the next question here. I saw Jovan in the chat and I wanted to see if he shouted out somebody there, but he did not. So at some point, Jovan, tell me who you were shouting out and I will try to say, pass that shout out along while I'm on the air. Let's see. Daloondog disrespect will not be tolerated from Jovan Buha's Pookie Bear. Look, I like, you know, like, you guys know this. I didn't go to UCLA personally, but I'm a UCLA fan because my grandparents met at UCLA. I loved him in college, loved him coming out of college. I find his NBA career fascinating because he is now a center when he came into the league as a wing. I love that he can create a bunch of offensive rebounds and extra possessions for the Lakers. And I love that he limits those extra possessions for other teams. I don't know that he can move his feet anymore. I am very nervous about his finishing ability, you know, that Jovan Buha outlined here on the show. And, you know, just overall, I just think it's kind of a meh transaction. Now, Harrison is kind of tweeting about Looney helping recruit somebody. I'm going to send Harrison a text, ask him what he means here. I know you guys love watching me send text. What do you mean by this? So, you know, maybe we'll see if this is a move that leads to another move. But just like in terms of the other centers who were available, I was pro Nick Richards personally. Maybe, yeah, Manny for real saying Steph Curry. Harrison is saying Looney is friends with Jonathan Kuminga, which, oh, all right. I didn't know this. I'm seeing it a little bit in the chat too. So maybe this is a precursor to more momentum with Jonathan Kuminga. But It would be interesting. Of those wings that we kind of talked about, Jovan convinced me about Washington, and now I really, really want him. It'd be interesting. And this is the kind of thing too, that like after a Kuminga signing happens, it would be reported shortly thereafter, or like as part of the tweet that, Rob would want sent about the moves. He would say that, yeah, the Lakers signed Kuminga or signed Looney to try to convince Kuminga, and that one led to another. I could see that, how that possibly sporadic thinks that Jovan was shouting out Kevon Looney, might be it. I don't think so, because I don't think he was particularly thrilled about the move, but maybe. Next super comment that we have here is from John Sotelo, 8652. Think the Nuggets would be open to swap Vando, Hardy, and DK for Jonas Valanciunas and Cam Johnson. Saves them about $10 million, which should help them with Watson. There's a lot of noise about Watson and the way that his restricted free agency is playing out. I personally still think that Watson winds up back in Denver, but I do think that like that situation has become a lot more tense than Nuggets fans would like for it to have become. And, you know, I had people asking, hey, is there any way that the Lakers could get in on that and make some kind of sign and trade offer for Watson that makes the Nuggets sweat? I don't think so. What would make the Nuggets sweat is like the Clippers putting together an offer that has Watson north of 20-ish, $25 million bucks a year. That would be something that would force the Denver Nuggets to really, really think long and hard about, you know, that core and how expensive that core is going to get. So, yeah, I wonder how that's going to play out, but I don't think the Nuggets would even like $10 million isn't enough, for the Nuggets to save to make up for, you know, Cam Johnson helping the Lakers. Like, this was the thing. This is a completely, well, I guess somewhat separate point from this question, but like one of the things that the Lakers really planned for going into the year was all of the cap crunches that a lot of these teams were going to have, and how the Lakers might benefit from those cap crunches by landing some of those players that those teams would have to say goodbye to. And we haven't seen that, like, unless you consider Walker Kessler an example of this, which I don't, because the Lakers gave up so much draft capital to get him. But like, remember at one point it was like Hartenstein, and maybe it's going to be Lu Dort, and maybe it's going to be Miles Turner, maybe it's going to be Giannis, maybe it's going to be this, maybe it's going to be one of the wings from New York if Giannis goes to New York, and maybe it's going to be Andrew Wiggins, and that just hasn't played out. And one of the things that I think the Lakers took for granted was, or didn't maybe take into account to the extent that they should have, was that none of these teams, like, if given the opportunity to save a few million bucks or help the Lakers, those teams have all summer found other ways to save that money. When, you know, by avoiding helping the Lakers, if at all possible. And I think that's something that the Lakers probably should have taken more seriously going into this whole cap space plan than they did. But, yeah, for this specific question, I don't quite see that. Mockman writes, any chance LA could pry Sadiq Bey out of New Orleans? So this is one, a name that I reported on for a while. The Lakers love Sadiq Bey as a talent. Unfortunately, Bey kind of broke out last year for New Orleans, and now New Orleans loves him. So if they do lose a Herb Jones or a Trey Murphy, the Pelicans think that Sadiq Bey could like step into a larger role there. And, you know, by way of the assets that they get for those guys, and by way of whatever talent they get for those guys, they would, that's how they would net out positively. But yeah, I really, really like Sadiq Bey. The Lakers were after him for a couple of years and really went after him last year But New Orleans was just not having any of it. He's cost controlled. He continues to get better. I love how strong he is on the wing while also being able to move his feet. Really, really love Bay as a player. I just don't think he's going anywhere. Next question comes from John Sotelo. PJ for Laravia and Hardy would save Dallas about $7 million. They would maybe be more interested in that than a Vando package or a Vando DK package, seeing as Laravia is still seen as a playable NBA player nowadays, whereas Vanderbilt, I don't think, is really considered that way anymore. You would still have to give up all of the draft picks in this scenario, and then you still have to find a way to, you know, make Vando's money more productive next season. It's probably closer than the other one. I don't see it personally. And I feel like we would be getting more, like what I could see the Lakers doing is leaking that they are making more progress on a PJ Washington front so that Jonathan Kuminga and his camp start thinking like, oh shit, we're running out of options. And so I could see that playing out in the next few days or so, but, they do need to find a new home for Jaden Hardy, and Hardy was on Dallas before. And I don't think that those bridges are burnt. So maybe there's something there. All right. That is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. Thank you to Jovan for hopping on earlier. Never figured out who he was trying to shout out. So maybe at some point I'll, you know, let you guys know as soon as I hear that. Thank you to all of you guys for your questions and your comments and for hopefully hitting that like button, hitting that subscribe button, and telling your friends about the show. Please also, if you guys are listening to the show in its podcast form, subscribe to this show wherever it is that you get your podcasts, and use that promo code HMA on Prize Picks to get $50 worth of free picks on Prize Picks when you sign up, use the promo code, and all of that good stuff. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.